There are three words from our scripture readings today that really caught my attention this week. Two of them go together. They are pursue righteousness. This is how St. Paul exhorts Timothy at the beginning of our second reading today. The whole sentence is this: "But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Righteousness has to do with what is right and just in the eyes of God. Human beings have always asked the primordial questions concerning righteousness. What is this life all about? And how are we to live it well? What is the right thing to do by the heavens above? Even the most primitive pagan religions have some wisdom to offer because they try to formulate answers to these questions and then to order the lives of their community members according to those answers. Philosophy, which is the study and love of wisdom, is also about trying to know what is right and true in human life through the exercise of our God-given reason. Fortunately for us Christians, we can know what righteousness is by examining the life of a person, Jesus Christ. As God become man, he came to show us what a worthy human life looks like in all its perfection and what it is we are to do. We have to look no further than him to know what God wants of us and how we can measure up. Of course, it's only by virtue of Jesus that we can measure up, for he is our righteousness. Now, with regard to that other word, pursue righteousness. We know that pursue is an action verb. Some of its synonyms are go after, run after, follow, chase. The next sentences in our passage from St. Paul to Timothy also give evidence of the active nature of what he's talking about. He says, compete well for the faith, lay hold of eternal life. The Christian life is an active life in body, mind, and soul. We who are followers of Jesus are to pursue righteousness with all that we are and all that we have. We try to know Christ and his teachings as thoroughly as we can by studying the scriptures and the doctrines of his church. Saint Jerome, the great biblical scholar whose feast day is coming this Friday, is famous for having said, "Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ." Of course, we know Christ Jesus especially through prayer, soul to soul, in our public prayer of the liturgy and our personal prayer in the silence of our inner rooms. So we pursue righteousness, first of all, by pursuing our relationship with the one who makes us righteous. But then we also try to live up to that relationship, doing what he commands us and what he asks of us for love of him. There is always something more we can do for him, and it is the most worthwhile pursuit we can have in this life. The third word that really caught my attention this week is on the opposite end of the spectrum from pursue and righteousness. It is complacency, or as an adjective, complacent. This word shows up right at the beginning of our first reading today from the book of the prophet Amos, where it says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion." Amos goes on to talk about Israel's lying upon beds of ivory, stretching comfortably upon their couches, eating lambs taken from the flock, improvising to the music of the harp, drinking wine from bowls, anointing themselves with the best oils, but not being concerned with the things that concern God. The reference to the collapse of Joseph is when Joseph, the son of Jacob, was thrown into the well by his jealous brothers and there left to die. God wants his chosen people in ancient Israel and in the church today to be concerned with the things that he is concerned with. And what God is concerned with is the well-being, physical and especially spiritual, of every person he has loved into existence. He does not want any soul to be lost, which is why he warns those whom he loves and those who are called to serve him against complacency. There are so many examples we could think of how complacency was the undoing of a person who could have gone far, or even the ruin of an entire civilization. Many historians interpret the eventual collapse of the Roman Empire, for example, as due to the complacency that set in gradually and eroded its foundation. Our gospel reading today is a fearful example of the mortal danger of complacency when it comes to things that are important to our Father in heaven. The rich man in the parable is complacency personified. He is the man whom Amos prophesied about so many centuries before. In his complacency, the rich man probably didn't even see Lazarus sitting on his doorstep half of the time. The fact that the man was rich was not his problem. It was that he was not pursuing righteousness in his life, but rather was blithely unconcerned with anything but his own pursuit of pleasure. You and I are not that rich man, let's hope. But the warning is still there for us. So much does Christ love us that he doesn't want us to be complacent about our immortal souls or anyone else's. We don't have to wonder what we should do or what we shouldn't do. It's all there for us in the teachings of the church that Christ left us as our mother. But we do have to be on guard against this complacency and actively, every day, pursue the righteousness of Jesus. Fortunately, Christ is here for us, and he strengthens our souls for his good work in this and every celebration of the Eucharist.